Praise the Lord. We are very, very happy for the privilege of being with you another time. Praise God. Hallelujah. So many things have happened since the last time we were with you. We have to thank God for bringing us together again. And we thank God more so because we are together in the name of Jesus. There is a name, glory to God, above all names, that is causing us to come together. We're not coming together because of any other reason. Amen. It's not the music that we love. Amen. It's not the dancing and the spirit that's attracting us. Amen. But it's Jesus. Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And thank God, as we go on deeper and deeper into that time of darkness just before the morning breaks. Hallelujah. We find that a lot of things are happening and will happen. But God said all things work together for good. Praise God to them that love God. It does not say that all things are good. Amen. And it doesn't say that all things work together for good for everybody. But to them that love God. Oh, glory to God. I see Sister Reese and Brother Reese sitting before me, and I praise God for them. Yes. Amen. Some people would be dying now if they had gone through what they had gone through the past few days. But here they are, look at them smiling. Yes. Praise be to God, because all things, even the fire burns, work together for good to them that love God. Yes. Amen. You can't burn me out of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Fire can't put out the light of God in me. Hallelujah. The more you destroy my goods, the more I'm going to praise God. There was a little song which we used to sing formerly. If you take all my gain, I will not fret or complain. You can't stop me from loving my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn with me through Exodus. Let's go deep down into Egypt. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 12. Amen. Praise be to God. And I want to talk with you tonight, as the Lord would let me, about the blood covenant. The blood covenant. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Lord, chapter 12, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, unto Aaron, in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. It's not the first month of the year to everybody. Amen. Sure. It is the first month of the year to you, because something happened in that month for you. Hallelujah. When the blood of Jesus Christ reached your heart, that is the month of all months. People go around and ask people, what planet you're born under? Amen. I was born under Jesus' planet. What is your planet? Amen. You see, the problem is that the devil divided up the year into 12 devil sections. And he called one Pisces, and he called one Libra, and he called one Sagittarius, and Aries, the Ram, and whatever. But when we came out of the devil's kingdom, we lose our birth. And we were born under Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, one psalm said, this one and that one were born in her. Amen. And in the city of God, a new creation must have a new birth. And a new birth must have a different concept. No longer must you look at the devil's Bible for your daily reading. Remember that daily reading. I remember somebody couldn't go out to work in the morning until the papers come with their horoscope. And the devil's Bible was their guidance. But we are not of those that dwell in darkness. And if yesterday we were, and we looked at the horoscope, tomorrow we're not going to look at it anymore. Isn't that wonderful? That there is a growth coming forth among the people of God, that we are going to throw away the horoscope as from tonight. Praise be to God. Amen. So then, we read verse 13. Let's take 12 and 13. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And we go on, verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall throughout your generations, ye shall keep it the feast. An ordinance forever. Everlasting ordinance. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. Praise be to God. You know, when God wrote the Bible, he wrote a spiritual book. He had no intention that people should search the book to find out what day was his birthday, to keep his birthday. He had no intention in the Bible that people should search to find out what time he was crucified in order to keep Easter. Because there is no such word in the Bible. Oh yes. In one scripture, somebody put that at Easter time, Jesus went into the garden to pray. You remember that? It's a lie. Check your Bible again. Check the original, and it said at Passover. Amen. Somebody wanted to pawn off Easter on you. Somebody is fooling somebody. Amen. Amen. And I don't want to be the one that gets fooled. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So when I read my Bible, I ask God, is this what you said? Or this is what the translator said? Amen. Amen. And so we understand that it was Passover that Jesus was crucified. And if we became carnal Christians, let us say we fell down from our beautiful spiritual height, and we get a little bit carnal, what would we do? We would keep Passover. Oh yes. We would follow the Jews, and we would keep Passover, because Jesus Christ on Passover night, he sat down and he ate. the meal with the brethren, and then he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he said, I will not eat this drink, this wine with you again until I drink it new in the kingdom of God, because he was crucified next day. Hallelujah. And so we find that this was a covenant that he was making with Christians. A covenant in blood. Do you know no contract is of any good unless blood is put down on it? What do you think your money in our legal system, a contract doesn't come into force until money is paid. You go to buy a car and you sign up for the car and you didn't put down any money on it. None of your sweat went down on it. None of your blood went down on it. It's not a contract yet. Hallelujah. And so God made a contract with us. And because our blood was not strong enough, he shed his own blood and put it down on the contract and said, I pay for that. And he paid the price. And so whenever you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you enter into a blood contract with God. Nothing stronger on earth. Nothing stronger in heaven. Nothing stronger in hell. Because a blood contract, when it comes to the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no power on earth that can overpower or stand before the blood of Jesus Christ. That night in Egypt, let us see way down yonder what happened. Moses didn't have the blood of Jesus. Therefore he said, let me take the nearest thing. God said, take a lamb. But the lamb must be without spot or blemish. The lamb must be a true type of the Jesus man. And kill that lamb. And he said, you daub the blood over the doorpost and the lintel. You see, the doorpost and the lintel. So that means the blood on top, the blood on the side, and the blood on the other side. And he said, you go to the window and you daub the blood over the window. And as the people went along, they saw the Egyptians, the Israelitish houses, and the houses were daubed red over there and down by the side. Yes. And some of them laughed and said, what a funny set of people. I wonder what they're up to now. But some didn't laugh. They made up their mind that midnight wasn't going to catch them in their own houses. They were going to pay a visit, hallelujah, to the Israelitish houses at midnight because they weren't running any risk. But some of the people were complacent and they say, oh, we got it made. We don't have to go anywhere. And so God called up some evil spirits. Do you know that God can talk to evil spirits? The Bible says so. And God said to these devils, he said, you know what? I'm going to give you a little holiday. I'm going to give you a vacation down in Egypt. Yes. He said, you go down there and you kill every firstborn that you catch. Yes. Hallelujah. I love how God do business. God didn't say, just kill the firstborn of Egyptians. You know, that would be discriminatory. God don't discriminate. Amen? Hallelujah. And God put out an advertisement for a job. If you qualify, you'll get the job regardless of your color.
Hallelujah.
He doesn't discriminate. So, God said, okay. Say, you go down in Egypt and you kill everything that is firstborn. Do you know why? Anybody here can tell me why God said firstborn? Because the firstborn belongs to God. Every firstborn belongs to God. God's property. Amen. Hallelujah. You better believe it. God claimed the firstborn, and moreover, He claimed the first fruit of your life. He claimed your first attention. He claimed your first love. He claimed your first desire. He claimed your first emotion. He claimed your first thought. So man, though he thinks he's doing his own thing, he belongs to God. God has a claim on him. And he better satisfy that claim. Hallelujah. And so it happened that God sent these devils. He said, at midnight, as the clock strikes 12, you can have a holiday in Egypt. He said, you kill every firstborn. Kill everything. Goat, cow, everything that is firstborn. So the devils went down to kill. But something went wrong with their plan. What went wrong? God went around the corner and told Moses what to do to stop them from killing his people. Don't you know that sound like God? Oh yes, sir. God is always providing deliverance for his people. Trust God, brethren, with your little ones. Trust God with your life. Trust God with your soul. Trust God with your destiny. For God is always planning to save you. That's the God I serve. I remember one day I was in a fight. Used to fight on the street. The young man, crazy. And when I got into a fight, I hated to get into a fight, although I love fighting. But when I got into a fight, it was always to kill the other man. I couldn't help myself. And so I held on this man, and I had every intention of killing him. And he was on the ground, and I was over him, ready to deliver the coup de grace. And I said, God, coming down, you know, God, if you are God, if you can save, you better do it now. You better do it now because, and you know, in Jamaica, when you kill people, they hang you, you know. Oh, they don't play around like you guys over here. Put you on the gallows. So I say, God, if you want to save, you better do it now. Now, where I got the thought, I don't know. But all I knew is that I couldn't help myself. And I called out to God for help. And you know what happened, brother? You wouldn't believe it. You ever hear about somebody being translated? I am standing up here, holding down the man, ready to kill him, coming down with a blow, and find myself down the street. The way it felt to me, it was like a big giant came behind me and just lifted me backward, put me down. And although I was a sinner, I praise God. But it took me out of a tight spot. God is always planning to save man. No matter how bad you are, you call about his name, he will save you. Hallelujah. Evil spirits of death went into Egypt that night. At the stroke of 12, They went hill to kill. And they wiped out some houses. In and out. In and out. And they were killing. And then all of a sudden they reached the Goshen land. And when they rushed to the house, a glory of God shined from the doorpost and the lintel. The demons turned and ran. Blessed be the God Almighty. The covenant of blood, hallelujah, will deliver you, brother. Amen. If you doubt it, you get into trouble and call upon God. Call upon God and say, Lord God, remember your covenant. Remember your covenant with your servant. Shabbalah. Yes, sir. And God taught Moses a lesson. God taught the children of Israel a lesson. And it was the beginning of the lesson in blood that would come right down to us. Amen. And he said to the priest, go through the tabernacle. And he said, put the blood upon every piece of furniture. Come on now. We are talking about wood and stone. Blood was upon the wood of the houses and the stone of the houses. Blood was upon brass in the tabernacle, upon gold. And there were seven covenants. Come on, brethren. The priest made seven covenants with God. The first one, he said, the covenant of blood for the remission of sin. He went on the covenant of baptism. Hallelujah. He went on the covenant of the candlestick, the church, walking with God. He went on the covenant of the bread, eating Jesus Christ. Feeding upon God. You covenant with God to feed upon him. Is that right? How come you're feeding on other things? All the trash that's coming through the mail. How come you're feeding on all these false doctrines? Amen. You made a covenant with God to feed on him. If you baptize in water, then you have made a covenant with God to be baptized into Christ. Didn't you know that the baptism in water is only the first step of baptism, which brings you into the baptism of the Holy Ghost and into the baptism of Christ? Don't you know that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the sign of God upon your life that you are saved? If you are saved and you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost, you better come tonight and talk to God. Talk to God. Tell him you made a covenant with him in blood and you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now. Shakuru Mahashta Kamanda. God Almighty is a covenant keeping God. God is a prayer hearing God. God is a covenant keeping God. Hallelujah. This is the God that the Israelites knew. Amen. The God that the Israelites knew, that he keeps covenant. He doesn't tell you he's going to do something and then forget all about it. Amen. And the Bible said that God is not slack concerning his promises as men count slackness. Amen. But God will keep his covenant to you. Some people get a word and it's not from God. Some people spend all their lives holding on to a word that is not of God. You need to get the word of God and to hold on to God. Yes. the word of God is written in the Bible. But that is the Logos. What did I say it is? The Logos. The living Jesus Christ word. Amen. But before you can take that Logos and say it is mine, you must have the Rhema. In other words, God must come whisper in your ears. The word of God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord, I'm with you always. But everybody here can't jump up and say, I'm going into all the world. You're going into all the world and you haven't even conquered Jerusalem yet. Amen. So that word is not for you. It's not for you till Jesus Christ comes to you and says, brother, go. Hallelujah. God wants some people to stay here. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise be to God. And so, as we see what happened in Egypt, these devils came down and they began to kill. And you know, you see blood as a red substance. I'm going to let you into some secrets now. But devils see blood as energy and life. You see it as a red substance because you're looking through natural eyes. But when the devils look at that blood, by faith, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that they saw. And hell can tell you, that it's one thing they can't overcome, and it's the blood of Jesus. That one sacrifice of Calvary wrecked hell forever and ever. The devil will never be able to overcome anything that's marked with the blood of Jesus. You believe me? And so, we see the next thing happening is that there was deliverance that night through the blood. And there was death. While some were delivered, some were dying. And the word of God go on and tell us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so, as the gospel came to us, we begin to get a new understanding. Solomon built a temple, and Solomon said to himself, I'm going to get God, and I'm going to lock up God in this temple. And anybody come through that door, God will just zap him with his power. And he said, people will have to come from every part of the world to come to Jerusalem, to come to this temple to get God. You see, little men think in a small way, God think universal. And so, as Solomon built the temple, Solomon went to God and asked God to come now, God. And I have made you a permanent dwelling place. Imagine, you get a temple made out of wood and stone that's going to break down one day. And you get an everlasting God and ask him to stay in there forever. You know what's going to happen? You know what must happen, though. That temple must destroy. Amen. And so, God said, God doth not dwell, help me, in temples made by men's hands. Come on now. Amen. You're still going to Jerusalem to build a temple? Are you still going to be sending money to buy a stone to build a temple down in Jerusalem? Do you still believe that Jesus Christ is going to come down and sit down on a big throne inside of Jerusalem and reign and rule from Jerusalem? Look, brethren, there is Jerusalem sitting down right behind me. There is Jerusalem sitting before me. There is Jerusalem sitting. Hallelujah! God is going to rule from this Jerusalem, because the final temple of God is the human being. We are the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember it, right? We are the temple of the Lord. Praise His name. Our bodies must be holy before we tell the story. We are the temple of the Lord. Praise His name. We are the temple of the Lord. Hallelujah. So then, God transferred the glory from the house here and to the human house where God dwells forever. So, where would be my doorpost? Daub it down my doorpost and over my lintel. Don't you understand that God wants the blood of Jesus Christ in your forehead? God wants the blood of Jesus Christ in your mind. And He said, after these days, I will plant my law in their heart and in their mind. And in Hebrew, He said, I will walk in them. And I will talk in them. God is a living, walking, talking God. He wants a living, walking, talking house.
Amen.
Amen. God is not going to put His glory upon wood and stone. And so tonight, we're talking about the covenant that we have made with God. When we came to Jesus Christ, we made a covenant of death. Oh yes, sir. We said, Jesus Christ, I will follow you in death. I will follow you in burial. I will follow you in resurrection. Are you keeping that covenant? Are you keeping that covenant? Because when I say death, I mean death to the sin that is in me. I mean death to that which is in me, which is not of God. I mean death to the parts of me that cannot glorify God. Amen. Then when I see that the part that I had given over to death is still alive, I go back to God and say, kill it, God. Kill it. You know, I was up in Minneapolis recently in a church, and this brother from South America came. He is the pastor of the church. And he got up to introduce me. And he said some words that I don't think I'm going to forget. And when I tell you them, I don't think you're going to forget them either. He said, brethren, God loves you. And everybody said, amen. He said, God loves you so much. He loves you so much, He wants to kill you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. He loves you so much. He wants to kill you. Hallelujah. When He's finished with you, Nothing of the man is left. Only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord brought us into this covenant because, you know, we were lost. We were lost. When God made Adam a living soul. He was alive. But Adam sinned and Adam died. And when Adam died, you know what part of Adam died? It was the God part. I heard a man saying the other day that only 7% of your brain is being used right now. 7%. That means if it was 100 parts, only 7 parts is being used. The rest of it is dormant. I cannot believe that when God made Adam, that Adam had any dormant cells in his brain. I believe that the man was perfect. I believe that the man had the power to perceive God. I believe that God would come and walk and talk with Adam like two friends, and they would commune, hallelujah, together every day. I believe that the power of God covered Adam. I noticed that some of these artists, whenever they are drawing Adam and Eve, they draw them naked. I would like somebody to draw Adam and Eve clothed. Like when Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave, he was clothed. He left his clothes inside there and came out with a beautiful garment. Amen. I believe that the spiritual beings are clothed. I believe that those who draw naked angels, they are drawing demons. Amen. Oh yeah. You know, inside the great church in Rome, up in the ceiling, Michelangelo drew all the naked little fat angels flying around. They were demons. All demons he drew on the ceiling. And that, you know, they think it's such a glorious work. The man drew the whole ceiling full of demons. Praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I say, brethren, that God is leading us further into understanding of his word. Adam lost out with God. Jesus came back, and Jesus, the scripture said, Jesus developed in power. Instead of losing, he developed in power. And the whole of his spiritual senses were alive. He was able to perceive Jesus Christ. He was able to perceive God. He was able to perceive the angels of God. He was able to perceive heaven. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Tonight, God is here. The angels are here. Nobody can point to them because we don't see them. I remember when God brought me into understanding with God, I began to see things. Oh yes, I began to have visions that were so real that I didn't know whether they were visions or whether they were true. You know, where that really happened. I see Jesus, I talk with him as a person, a man. I was in another realm. Yeah. And God is developing us. The more we pay attention to the things of God, the more we put our hearts to learn righteousness. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, children, we were children of sin. Yeah. We have to learn righteousness. Don't condemn yourself if you sin. Just repent. Amen. Why should I go around condemning myself if I fall and sin? When God said, if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. We should all be holy and without sin. If you have a resident washer woman, why should you wear dirty clothes? Amen. All you have to do, the moment you make a fall, you make a sin, you call to God, you get deliverance, you say glory. Yeah. Amen. And so, let's go back upon the thoughts of this covenant. We made a covenant then that God, I cannot keep myself from sin. But he made a covenant that he would keep you from sin. If you are willing. So when we fall into sin, it's because we're not willing. You better believe it, brethren. We better start trusting God and challenging God upon the covenant. Challenge him. You promised to keep me from sin. Oh yes. Because he said with every temptation, right inside of the temptation, there is a way of escape. Oh yes. I have a friend who was so tempted one night that he went into a place that he shouldn't be. And when he looked around and saw his condition, he jumped through the window. Yes, the window was open. A way of escape. Amen. And he ran. Hallelujah. He didn't care if he wasn't dressed. He just knew that he had to get away because the Spirit of God called for him. Praise be to God. Covenant of deliverance. God made a covenant with us. Yeshua, Jesus, Savior, Healer, Baptizer, Deliverer, come in, my King, my Lord, hallelujah. This is the name of Jesus. When I am sick, I can say, Lord, please now, heal me according to our covenant. Jesus. Oh yes. When I'm out of work, I can say, God, give me a job according to your covenant. Praise God. A couple nights ago, we were in a meeting in Oklahoma. And a brother was asked to bless the offering. And the young brother got up and his heart pained him because he didn't have an offering to give and he was asked to bless the offering. And he said, oh God, bless this offering, my God. And you know that I don't have an offering to give because I don't have a job. But Lord God, when I get a job, I'll give you the offering. Said, bless it, Lord. And when the brother cried out from his heart, we all jumped up and cried, give him a job, oh God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Jehovah. There's nothing that the church can't do. All power, God said, is given unto you in heaven and in earth. Blessed be to God. Next night we get back to meeting, and the brother was beaming all over. Said, I got a job. He said, they turned me down. They said, they will never give me that job. They said, I'm not qualified. And all of a sudden, next the morning, they just called me and said, work today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Tell you, brethren, I want you not only to rejoice, but to begin to use the power of God. Because the church today is too wishy-washy. We need to rise up and ask God by His blood and by His covenant to bring to pass the things He has promised us. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, my Savior. Jesus Christ, my Keeper. Jesus, my Healer. Jesus, my Deliverer. Jesus, my Life. Jesus, my King. Hallelujah. I want you to know this. And so, we go on. And we see that we come into a covenant now with Jesus Christ, a covenant of baptism. And this is something that was never understood. Because the old time baptism before Jesus Christ was a baptism of initiation, wherein you were initiated by baptism into an order, into a church order. Of course, they didn't call it church that time. It was whatever it was. Amen. So, John the Baptist came, and he baptized people into repentance, which was the only preparation that you could make to meet Jesus. Repent. So John, he baptized people to repent. Then, men like Gamaliel, the great teacher, he baptized people to Gamaliel. So after you baptized with him, you were a Gamalielite. And if Brother McCurdy baptized you, you would be a McCurdyite. But thank God, He's only going to baptize you into Jesus. So we see the covenant goes on. And you say, all right, Jesus Christ, I want to baptize in water because I want to learn the ways of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And so Jesus Christ, pardon me, baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And after that, you get baptized into Christ. Did you hear that? By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So that although you come to this church, this is not the body in which you are baptized. They don't make you a member here and say, brother, now you're stuck here. You can't even go over there without us telling us we disciple you. No. When you come, they point you to Jesus. Amen. Amen. They point you to Jesus. The denominations point you to the denomination. And you go by the name of the denomination. Any Baptist here? Any Methodist? Any Catholic? You see what I mean? You go by the name of the denomination. Hallelujah. But you don't go by this name. You are in the body of Christ. And this is the covenant you made with God. But all this while, God is making a covenant with you that by His blood, He's going to keep you. And you know what He said? He said He's going to make you exactly like Jesus Christ one day. And He's going to present you blameless to the Father. Praise God. So, we see that we are walking through many covenants. In the one covenant that we made with Jesus Christ, we begin to walk through many different covenants. Now we have a covenant with God that we will see, because if you don't see it, you won't grow. So you decide that I feed on Jesus. And you made a covenant to feed on Jesus from the body of Christ, from the ministry of Christ, from the little voice that speaks to you inside. The Christ within and the Christ without. That's a covenant. Wait, let me hear something now. The scripture says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And the scripture went on to say, you must obey them that are set over you in the Lord. But I want you to notice the word in the Lord. Paul said to the brethren one day, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, if I backslide, you must follow me. You see, this is the evil in the way some people teach the Bible. Because if I tell you to follow me, I'm not telling you a very good thing. And I tell you why. I make some boo-boo sometimes. You know? Today, we were coming from service, and somebody was following us to go home. But then, we didn't remember that we had somebody else to drop off, and so as we turned into this place, we saw the person turning in after us. Surely, the person was following us. Amen. But when you talk about following, follow the Christ in me. Discern Christ and follow Christ. So God says that the ministry is ordained to teach the people Christ until the people can minister. Last time I come here, there was about the same amount of people in the building. Next time I come back, I want to see the building full right up to here. You know why? The Bible said, every seed brings forth after its own kind. And every soul here should have a care for some soul somewhere. every soul here should be able to kneel down and pray and say, Lord God, help that poor girl next door. Or help that poor boy next door. Save him, Lord Jesus. And sooner or later, you're going to win a soul. I remember when I was a young Christian, one of the covenants that I had with Jesus Christ was to win 4 souls every day. And any day I didn't get my 4 souls, I was a sad man. Oh yeah, 6 o'clock in the morning, through the dew, going to somebody's house, take him off the roof, knock him off before he gets up, and said, let me pray with you before you get up. Oh Lord Jesus, help us. Oh yes, I was greedy at the soul. And I want to know what's wrong with this generation of people. Yes. They don't seem to care about the dying and the dead around them. Amen. Begin to care. Yes. Begin to fast and pray for somebody else beside your own family. Yes. Begin to cry to God to save your friends. Yes. And you watch and see what happens when I come back here next time. If this place not filled much more than it is tonight, you're supposed to double up, quadruple every year. You're supposed to quadruple. Every soul must be winning a soul for God. And if since you were here, since Jesus Christ rescued you and brought you to this place, you had saved one soul, this place would have quadrupled itself, because the soul that you saved would save somebody else. And God works in a chain action. I'm talking about blood covenant, you know. God works in a chain action. That any time you see it happens here, it domino principle. Let me tell you a little secret about the saving of souls in families. When I told you my condition was like that with the whole family. We love to fight and things like that. And I discovered that it was a spirit in the family. I discovered that the spirit came from Africa and one came from France. And they both joined together. And that we felt that we should beat everybody in the world. Amen. And this was a madness. But it was a spirit that was driving us. And I was among the worst one of them. Father used to call me the murderer. And so when Jesus Christ took me over, the spirit get a terrible blow. And it set off a chain reaction in my family. Glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the brother got saved. And the sister got saved. And his family got saved. And her family got saved. And they just keep getting saved. The whole family come under God. Mother and father get saved. Glory. Jesus. I believe that many of you have the same story. That there is a chain reaction when you hit the spirit that held down your family for years and years and years and years. When you hit him and destroy his power, your brothers get loose. Enough. And you should begin to pray for them. You know, one day I said, my God, my little brother was in such a dreadful condition. And I said, Jesus Christ, I am giving you 7 days to save him. I said, I give you 7 days to save him, Jesus. And I said, I'm not going to eat until you get saved. And I went on a 7-day fast. And Saturday evening, I took the bus and went to Kingston to grab him. Because my intention was was to arrest him whether he wanted to come or not and haul him down to church. Because I know God is going to save him today. And when I got into Kingston, we're having a big meeting Sunday morning, couldn't find him. Couldn't find him. Searched everywhere, couldn't find him. Sadly, I went to church Sunday. And we had a wonderful time till Sunday night. I came home, still sad, couldn't find him. Here he comes in. What do you think he said happened? He got saved.
Hallelujah!
He went into Pentecostal church and he said he didn't know where he was. He was at the altar. God Almighty arrested him and saved him. And the ball started a rolling. But you see, I was conscious of souls. I think that we preachers have stopped preaching hell. We have stopped preaching hell. Let me tell you something. God would never allow a dog to go to hell. God would never allow a dog to go to hell. But men choose hell. Hell was made for you. Hell was made for our kind. It was made for the devil and his angels. But men are going to hell. And we are talking and laughing with them every day. Covenant shall never depart from thee, said the Lord God. A covenant of life shall never depart from thee. You have the power to set at liberty them that are bruised. You have the power to deliver a lot of those people out on the streets.
Yeah.
The covenant that God made with you said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You go and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
God didn't say the elders are the preachers. Where you get your doctrine? Where you get your doctrine? The body of Christ is the preacher. God says we must minister to the body until the body ministers. The body is the minister that is going to bring forth life in the earth. And God says, you better start using your authority. You see how that evil spirit saw. Oh, the evil spirit saw the light of God flashing from the doorpost and the lintel.
Yes.
Don't you think that they see it on YouTube?
Amen.
Don't you know that the power of God flashes from you also?
Yes.
Don't you know that you have power to face any devil and tell him to set this man free, get out of him?
Amen.
You try it out sometime. The covenant of blood with Jesus Christ is to take us beyond the veil. Do you notice? Now I'm going to say something else. Do you notice the life? Pardon me. The life you got out of the song when you sung that last verse over and over about beyond the veil. See, when I come to church, God taught me long ago to watch where the Holy Ghost is, the wind is blowing. Even the musicians play better when they start play over and over. Beyond the veil. You get an anointing, you feel the anointing. Because God is saying to our people, this is where we are heading.
Yeah.
Never miss. Never take your eyes off the mark.
Yeah.
At the high calling which is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Though you are down in the dust, though your heart is weak,
yeah,
Throw your knees and bow. Keep your eyes on that mark of that high calling which is in Christ Jesus. We are heading for that veil. I have something to tell you. God has been recently telling me that 1983, we are standing before the veil. The church is standing before the veil. What are you going to do if you don't lay a hold of the principles of God right now? I want everyone in here tonight who find that you're having a hard battle with sin, just rise up in your heart tonight and say, sin, I reject you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, round here in Revelation chapter 12, in Revelation 12, and in verse 7, we see a peculiar verse. Praise God. It says that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there found any more place in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This heaven we are talking about is our heaven. It's our dwelling place of God. There is no war up in God's holy heaven. The only place there is war is inside of God's dwelling place here. God is trying to cast out everything that is within us that doesn't belong to Him. And when Jesus Christ comes, Jesus Christ says, the prince of this world comes, and He has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. And the day is coming when you and I will say, the devil has no claim on me. Because I have cast out every part of the devil that is within me, and I reject Satan completely. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And he went on. And he said, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Yes. Verse 11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. The last final weapon against Satan is the blood of Jesus Christ. I must have told you the story, and I'll tell you again. It's something marvelous to me. One night, I was under a most vicious satanic attack, and Satan came through the wall like lightning, struck me over onto the bed. I was standing at the bottom of the bed looking at him, because God had lifted me up into a realm that I could see through the wall. And I was looking at this devil out there. And as I opened my mouth to rebuke him, he came through the wall and struck me over on the bed. And as I fell on the bed, every limb was dead. My tongue felt like a ton. Couldn't move. And he held me, and he was on top of me. And at that moment, I saw Jesus. And he just jumped in the bed and look at me. Touched me on my shoulder. Said, don't struggle. He said, it's not a natural struggle, it's a spiritual struggle. You see, when the devil frightens you, brother, you are out of the spirit.
Amen.
Oh yes. Oh yes. If a person wants you to talk your native tongue, you only have to come behind you and give you a good slap. And if you're a German, you talk in German. And whatever you are, you're going to talk in your native tongue. Because it took you unawares. And so the devil knocked me over, and I was so frightened that I was ready to fight him physically. God said, no, no. He said, no, no, it's not a physical fight. Amen. And so I just relaxed. And as I relaxed my mind and body, because now if Jesus come into the thing, you know you win. Amen. It is like reading the back of the book. Hallelujah. And find out that you won. So I know I won. So I just lie down, praising God. All of a sudden I saw the cross of Jesus Christ rise up above me. And there he was hanging on the cross. And I saw the blood trickling down his armpits, coming right down, running down to his feet. I saw it was such a vivid picture that I never forget it. Many years ago, I can't forget it, brother. And as I looked at the picture of Jesus, and I was glorying in the blood of Jesus Christ, one drop came from his left hand, and it went tick. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Only my mind can talk now, because the thing holds my body. Did you ever read in the scripture that the outer court will be given to the Gentiles to be destroyed? Your body, your outer court, it is in a world, you know. You have to be careful of what you do physically, because your outer court is in the world. But my mind was as free as ever. I was there praising God in my mind. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for that drop of blood. It could save every sinner. And my heart rejoiced, and I said, thank you, Jesus. One drop of blood could have saved the whole world. And I looked over to the other hand, and there was another drop. And I said, thank you, Jesus. That drop of blood could destroy every devil in hell. Hallelujah! You see, you got to have faith in the blood. It can't be just the blood without faith. It has to be, you have to believe in it. Blood covenant. And the next drop, where you think it came? Right in my face. His beard, the thorns had gone through the skull and come out at the side. And the blood was running down his cheeks like sweat. And came right down, and one drop into my face. And when the thing hit my face, my whole body convulsed, and I shout, Jesus! And threw him out. Hallelujah! The devil is not a winner. He is a loser. He is a loser from the beginning. The blood of Jesus Christ is strong enough and powerful enough to take you out of sin. Anybody here who is in sin, tell sin tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ will set you free right now. Right now, just believe it and it's done. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody who wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the blood of Jesus Christ is going to give you that baptism tonight. Just believe it and receive it. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And we go on from victory to victory. until we come to the final point where the blood of Jesus Christ will become our very life. Do you know, brethren, that in the heavenlies, when we are there 1,000 years, we're going to have the same blood of Jesus Christ moving up and down in our veins. And so, let me come down. The glory of God says in our hearts that if we can only believe in this covenant, we can always call upon God. Remember, I am your covenant brother. Jesus Christ, I want to exercise my authority under the covenant. Let me tell you, brethren, you can be a loser if you want. You can have the covenant and be a loser because you refuse to exercise the covenant. One day, David sent Abner on a special job. But Joab was jealous of Abner. And so Joab decided to kill Abner. But Joab would have a man-sized fight upon his hand to fight with Abner. For Abner was a warrior of well renown, and David trusted Abner. But what he did, he said, "Oh, Abner, my brother. Abner, my brother, I so long to see you. I so much love you." He caught him and kissed him. And while he was kissing him, he pulled his sword, ran it into his heart and killed him. Dear God, the Bible says that David mourned for 7 days, weeping and crying and wouldn't eat. And what he was saying in his mourning, he said, Abner died as a fool. Abner died with his sword in his shield. Abner did not even pull his sword. He let the man kiss him and kill him. Many of us are dying because we are like Abner. Pull your sword, brethren. Pull your sword. And tell the devil you're a covenant brother of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Call upon God. And he will answer you. He will be with you in trouble. He will deliver you. There is nothing that we want in God that we cannot have through the covenant of life that we have with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Tonight, I'm going to close now. Tonight I was not supposed to preach. Because when I came on here, I had no voice. I had a horrible cold that I was just coughing. I couldn't talk 2 words without coughing. And as when I started, first I couldn't sing. All of a sudden I found out that I had voice to sing and to praise God. And as the healing power of God came, I just went on and brothers, praise be to God. None of you would know that outside of this building, I was wondering how I could ever talk tonight. Praise God! Praise God! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. The covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ is greater than any sickness that we can have. God bless you, brethren, in the name of Jesus.